Okay. So, TH. I mean, I just looked at and listened to Putin's press conference there after the BRICS meeting 2024, late October, which, well, it seems that the Swedish media at least noticed, but, and there were, of course, the usual negative comments. I don't know, I don't even listen to them anymore, but of course BRICS will never work, no, it's just inferior to us. But I think that's really, as of standing here late October 24, I would say it seems we are witnessing some of the biggest changes in hundreds of years on this planet. I don't know, I mean, let's see what the future holds. But, and it could be to the better. And it's so funny because, you know, even to suggest that maybe these countries, Russia, China, India, and so on, and those down there in Africa and South America, they could get together and then first of all make themselves completely independent of Europe and the US. Second of all, cooperate to by synergy, plain synergy effect, creatively to become wealthy and affluent and influent, and which they really, really used to be. I mean, learn about history of China, India, Russia, and those countries down there in Middle East, and Africa and South America. Look at their pyramids and all that. You know, we are talking old cultures with some wisdom down there in their knowledge traditions, which go back to thousands of years, So, and there you see Mr. Putin sitting there, and I thought, he's polite, he's thanking everyone, and he's not screaming and shouting and being irrational as we have been taught to suddenly expect. But I mean, he's the way he always been. I mean, he's been around for a while. And I used to think, it's just the mafioso, connections, everything there in Russia, because I happened to have some friends from Russia, some who were even in touch with that guy, that level. And so, but now he's still there and he's aging, 70 something, and he seems to be doing a good job. I mean, and the thing is, which I think is so important, that we shouldn't see just that person and that person over there in America. We know it. Those who see a little bit, we all know that it's the government around there, the people, the whole crew of people who are doing the job. And the president or prime minister, whatever we have, it's really, I mean, there to represent the government, right? That's how it is here in Sweden, and I think it's the same with presidents. Of course, in America, you can see it very clearly, although they pretend he's some kind of emperor of the world. But there it's even, I would say, more insidious, because the show is run by some almost anonymous people sitting there in bureaucratic chambers and wielding around a lot of power. I mean, being in charge of this huge super duper nations with thousands of nuclear weapons and, you know, their currency dominating the other currencies, and, you know, we are the greatest and we are the leaders of the world, that kind of thing, you know. And then, all right, but then who are you then? And when you look at those people, now I've been following this for a while, hear what they said and, you know, what, see what they did and heard from, I would say, very knowledgeable and independent analysts who, you know, and I realize these people are not qualified statesmen or women. They came there either by connections and the corporations, or because of just swearing their allegiance to other more powerful people who want to be behind the screen. You know, all this stuff going on. But then it seems to me that countries like Russia and China and India, their leadership is more mature. And even Iran, for that sake. I mean, just listen, look at how Iran behaved, even politely, against Israel. They're just killing people all over the place, civilians, when they made their retaliatory missile strike that didn't do much harm, just didn't kill civilians. Well, I think maybe one or three were probably accidentally killed. But so the world looks very different the more, the deeper you look at it today. And what makes me frustrated is when I see so many people here in Sweden who don't even care to look. They just look at the news and the TV of the Swedish government, you know, the authorized, and the American news channels and so on. So, I would say dull. They don't even consider that. They don't even see that something is going on in the world, which is kind of super dramatic. So anyway, what can I say? I think we should help each other to wake up on that. But you know, I spoke to my sons this morning, and one of them was saying, you know, why don't they have a proper education? For example, you have the Swedish gymnasium, just, you know, the pre-college years there, where you can choose more specialized education, like they had, for instance, game development and creative, you know, media stuff. Why not one about politics? How you learn how to not rule a country, but how to manage a country, how to take care of a country and make sure the people in the country have, you know, happy lives. That's what it's a job. And then we talked about, like I was there, as I said once, in a family dinner in China where the man in the family happened to be in the central government, kind of agriculture or whatever, not minister, but there somewhere, and working together with the chairman and all of those on the top. And when I asked him how they select their government members, I think he was in the government or something, and then he said we choose the best ones. And we talked about that, and you know, and that also came to me then, that I think I know what I think is the best solution, at least a working solution for this, because democracies are failing left and right because they have weaknesses too. They can be exploited, taken over, and secretly, invisibly be turned into fascist oligarchy and all that, which is going on now. And open your eyes if you can't see that. Just look at how the freedom of speech is now being shut down in Britain and the US at alarming speed. That which, you know, when I was young, we used to do, accuse the totalitarian, whatever, fascist states for doing. So you see, I mean, we can't just judge from the surface. Because one day that nice, smiling, peaceful, all good and fair and honest leader guy over there with a big nice smile and white nice teeth may be a front for something completely different. That's how it is today. So then anyway, we were talking that, you know, what would be the best? That's what I'm saying now. That you have a country, and the country, like Sweden, little country, gather all the best academics, professors in political science, history, and, you know, military science, you know, all those people who are really the experts, and not people sitting in power positions and being into that game, but knowledge people, and who have, and they should be protected by the state. And protect each other, I guess it has to be in the end of the day. They should have a fixed salary, no matter if they have a job or not, so they're not depending on bribes or, you know, being bought by corporations. Maybe they should even be for, you know, if there's a connection like that, then they shouldn't be such advisors anymore, because that's what they should be, advisors for how to run this country. Their job should be how to be experts on how to run a country successfully. And the best thing is, as with other fields of knowledge, they should have practical such experiences. They could go to different countries, learn from them, work with their governments, you know, really down to earth. And economists there, military people there, agricultural, you know, experts in these different fields. Very practical, hands-on, how to, you know, make the country wealthy and healthy. And I think, you know, this, you can't say that in Sweden, because there's such a pride here still in the West. But I think the Swedish experts could learn a lot from going and visiting China and meeting with them, and I'm quite sure they would be happy to share their experiences. Because, you know, running a 1.5 billion population country, taking it from poverty to, I would say, if not already, then soon the richest nation in the world. That means there's some expertise involved there. They know what they're doing. And I think that they are interested in sharing that. So, you know, and sharing everything. That's how BRICS seems to be. Let's just share, you know, and help each other so we're doing okay and leave each other in peace. And then, you know, these, rather than these, I mean, these, sorry, but these elections are, have become stupid. Sure, we can have elections, but they should at least be combined with an election made by the experts of the country. You know, the political, the so-and-so economical and so-and-so experts. Not the greedy business people, but the, you know. If anyone could, then it's they, find the best people who are most qualified to run a country. And not, you know, get out of this stuck party position of, you know, you're either on this side or that side, left or right, and, you know, they are opposition to each other, and you're either this or that. But, you know, each side has its pluses and minuses, so one could combine, take. Like in social democracy, you have the market economy there. You have good business people in Sweden. You had it all the way through, the social democracy. I mean, my father was at a factory. But then you had the social welfare system. You know, you can make a balance like that. So I would even say, you know, take that model behind social democracy and try to implement it properly, leaving all different sides happy and satisfied. You know, you want to make a lot of money, then sure, do that. But yes, all of us should have free school, free medical care, and so on. And 5 weeks of vacation every year, at least. Well, in Finland there are more, in Germany it was maybe. So, because, you know, in any way it becomes, you know, the ones who are sitting doing that job are anyway people who just are not really elected because people know that this person is good and that one is good, and we don't even know who they are. But how do they get there, you know, by power? Generally by ambitiousness, you know, and being friends with the right people, and, you know, so you can go to the cool parties and hang around there and be shown in media. I mean, there's a lot of that. You have to be honest and also see that fact. But, you know, if we had a government with all the different ministerial positions are assigned by the foremost experts, intellectual experts, and also practical experience. I mean, even, you know, experienced corporate leaders who could, if they are not now partial and want to bring their gang into the power, they know how to run things. Economists from such, I mean, maybe stay above that corporate world, but, you know, these people really know practically by experience how things can be done so they work. that knowledge is not magical and mystical, just like any other knowledge, how to run a company or whatever. It's a bit silly, I think, with this kind of idealism, political ideology, philosophy, nebulous world there, oh, these are the good, these are the bad, and who are you on this side or that side? I think it's ridiculous. It looks more like a scheme, a staged situation set up to make, you know, good drama every election year, so people will go and vote, and of course vote for the right one. Which you can, and I mean that's, I think to me, completely obvious now looking at America, which you can manipulate. I'm pretty sure, I mean, no, I don't know. If there isn't already, there will soon be people sitting perfectly able to get the, you know, leadership position, president or prime minister, whatever. Be occupied by the right people. The government, the one they want. I don't know, maybe not. But then it seems to matter less and less who is actually sitting there on the throne. That's many of the experts I heard. Also say, things are handled above that level. And the public at large, you and me and all of us, they are handled also in their own way, in our own way. And, well, you know, there's something called media, which the people think of as some nice entertainment, right? On the little nice screen you have in your pocket or in your living room or in your bedroom or on your desk and where not. Oh, how I would like to get my hands on those, pump out my message there, telling people who is good, who is bad, what's real, what is not, what to think, what to do, what to buy. Ah. And here is this internet. Oh. How did that appear there? Anyway, what are we waiting for? Let's build our nations out there in this cyberspace and bring everyone to our nation where they should work and shop. And be and learn. And we will show them reality, the universe, as we know it, because we know how things are, because we are the good ones. And then the guys probably go behind the door after giving that speech and have a good laugh in between themselves.